All right. Ooh. All right. Welcome back to the Fit Father podcast. Last week, sorry, I did not get a podcast out there. Just to make a long story short, I began working with a coach to help me just kind of enhance my business, my online coaching business. And in order to get things off and running, I really just kind of grinded through that week and getting through hours of videos and lectures and notes just to, again, try to get through as much as possible in order for, you know, me to really get a handle on things, in combination with obviously maintaining my current schedule with programming for the gym I work at, my coaching hours there, and then obviously working with the clients that I currently have right now with my online stuff. So it was a busy week, and bottom line, I just did not make time for the podcast. So I apologize to you guys that were looking forward to it. I promise not to disappoint you on this one, because in this episode, I'm gonna touch on some personal stuff here, and really, if you don't know much about my upbringing and my childhood, this is gonna be a lot about that. But mainly what we're gonna talk about is taking action and the opportunities that come from taking action, and really the opportunities that are lost from not taking action. That's going to be the moral of this whole story and the lesson learned from this podcast. I am going to be really raw and real on this one, though. I'm going to give you guys some access to some things that I don't really share much with people, but I feel like last week was a big week for me. And I'll discuss that just on a personal level and some relationships that I was able to just kind of rekindle, I guess you could say. So bear with me. This is not going to be one of those high-spirited cheerleader type of episodes. This is going to be very raw and real, and you're going to learn a lot about me and why it's important to me, above all else, to be the best father, the best husband I could possibly be, and the real reason as to why I am specifically working with fathers with my online coaching business. All right, so last week, I had talked with actually went to go visit my wife and my daughter, and I went to go visit my grandfather, and my grandfather and I, we have not seen each other in about 5 years. Haven't seen him since my wife and I got married. And to understand that, I have to give you guys a little background as with my upbringing and my childhood, and to just give you guys a breakdown of what my relationship like is with my biological father. And there is none. My parents had me when they were teenagers, and, you know, being a parent at 32 years old, I have no idea how my mom, I mean, it took a village, but, you know, I don't know how my mom did it at her age. And my biological father and my mother were not together. So I split time on weekends at my biological father's house, and from the earliest memory that I have, it was always a very one-sided relationship. This is not a podcast where I'm going to sit here and talk shit about him, but, you know, bottom line, he's very, very much only concerned with himself. And, you know, some people, they choose not to, you know, try to work on themselves, and some people maybe just are not cut out to be parents. But I feel like it's your responsibility, it's your obligation to do everything you possibly can to be the best parent you can be. And his feelings were not the same. So about 14 years of just a real rough and difficult relationship with him. At the age of 14, I ran away from his house where he and his wife and had been living. And it was probably a five miles to the nearest gas station where I sat there and waited. Very emotional. Sat there and cried for about 45 minutes outside that gas station, calling mom from a payphone, asking her to come back and pick me up. I'd had enough, and I decided that, you know, at 14 years old, that this relationship was causing nothing but, really nothing but hardship for me, and I did not want to be around that at all anymore. So, because of that, the relationship that I have with my grandfather, his father was, you know, it was more difficult than it needed to be. And understanding that obviously my grandfather cares about his son, you know, he was caught in the middle of it, and that was not his fault. And, you know, as I got older, I realized that it was more difficult because I was still going to family functions and then trying to somehow just, you know, everyone wanted to pretend like things were normal between my biological father and I. You know, he'd be there, and you know, we're just supposed to act like things are normal and, you know, try to be civil. And I had no interest in that. And it just got harder and harder as I got older. I'm not a fake person. I keep things very fucking real. And I do not like to be fake. And that's what it was with that side of the family. And I just couldn't be a fake person anymore. So I just maintained a relationship with my grandfather. A lot of it was, you know, over the phone. He was living in Florida most of the year, and he'd be back during the summers here in Minnesota. And I just was seeing less and less of him because it was harder and harder to dodge that everyone else. And you know, I didn't have a bad relationship with everyone else, and I just couldn't stand being fake. Couldn't stand pretending that everything was fine and no one was acknowledging what happened. Nor do I think that they really should have. It's not my place to judge. But it just was really hard for me to do that. And, my stepfather and my mom have been together since, like, I was, like, one. My stepfather has always been the person who I've considered my father. And that didn't sit well with my grandfather. And when the wedding, when my wife and I, we got married, you know, in the program, it said my mom's name, and then, you know, under mother, my mom's name, and then under father, my stepfather's name. And, you know, that's, to me, it was obvious. He is my father. Like, we may not share the same blood, but, you know, he is my father. And that's what it was. And it didn't sit well with my grandfather. So, you know, he made that known, and for 5 years we went on not really, not talking at all. Maybe we may have spoken to each other, like, I mean, maybe five times, you know, maybe. So, you know, I was just kind of tired of always being caught in the middle of the things that, you know, between the being or just kind of, I felt like no longer was my grandfather caught in the middle of it. I feel like I was caught in the middle of the tension between my father and I and now my grandfather. So long story short, instead of dealing with it, I just didn't. I let that relationship that I valued very highly between my grandfather and I just kind of disappear because I didn't want to deal with it. It was hard for me to deal with it. It was hard for me to just have a conversation with him and tell him, look, you know, the relationship with my biological father and I, it's just not going to happen. And I'm never going to share with my grandfather all the stuff that I went through mentally and physically with my biological father. It's something that, you know, I haven't really shared it, all the things with anyone. It's not necessary. I removed myself from that relationship. But this weekend, I went and actually saw my grandfather. He's back in Florida, or he's back in Minnesota now, full time. His health is not great. And I told, you know, for the last year or so, I've literally gone to bed every single night telling myself, I'm going to call him. I'm going to fix this relationship. It's got to be me to do it. I could never live myself if, you know, I had missed out on this opportunity and I never got to speak with my grandfather for, you know, if you know, you get what I'm getting at. I mean, heaven forbid he ever passed away and I was never able to just mend that fence. That was very important to me. And finally, I worked up the courage to call him last week and just talk with him about it. And was it a comfortable conversation? No, it was not a comfortable conversation for me. It was really hard to have that conversation with him. You know, I was concerned. I was so worried about him being disappointed in me still from 5 years ago that he wanted nothing to do with me. I was afraid of rejection. I was afraid of my feelings being hurt, that I was willing for the last 5 years, I was willing just to not have not to maintain a relationship that mattered to me. And, I mean, I literally just forced myself to dial his number and call and you know, we went there this past weekend and it was good. It was really good. And I felt really good to take that action and not miss out on the opportunity to, you know, mend that fence, that broken fence, that relationship. And, yeah, I mean, huge weight lifted off my shoulders. but that the whole, I mean, for as long as I can remember, as long as I can remember acknowledging the fact that my relationship with my biological father was not normal. And understand, I didn't have a traditional upbringing. Most kids, their parents are grown and they're adults and they have their lives figured out. My parents had me very young. They were still growing up while I was growing up. I'm not blaming anyone for that. I wouldn't change a thing about my childhood because of the lessons that I've learned and that have made me the human being that I am today. But I will say this, as far as back as I can remember about my relationship with my biological father, I have thought about I'm the father that I'm going to be when I grow up, when I have kids. This is the type of father I'm going to be. Of course, this changed because I was, I mean, again, we're talking like, I mean, pre-teens, I was considering these things and I didn't become a father until I was 30. So, I mean, it's just, this is the reason why being a father to me and doing everything I possibly can to be the best father and the best, you know, husband I could possibly be matters so much to me because of the experiences that I had as a father. And it's also the reason why I choose to not just be your cookie cutter fitness, health, nutrition coach. There's a million of them out there. A million of them out there. And they all sell the same shit. Okay? They all deliver the same message. It's always the same things. Look at me lift my shirt up, show my abs. You want abs like this? Here you go. That's not me. I'm not trying to reach the general population. I'm trying to reach fathers because I care about fathers being the best father they can possibly be so that their kids don't have to experience a life without or a life of a, with a father who doesn't give a shit about them or doesn't make the effort or the time to do things with them that matter, that are things that you want to repeat or your kids want to repeat when they're parents. If you give a shit about your kids, if you really fucking care about your kids, you will do everything for your kids. You would jump in front of a moving car for your kids. No problem. No question. No hesitation. You'd do it. And yet so many people don't take action. Don't take the opportunity to do the little things that matter. You know, we're so focused on just working our asses off to buy the next fucking thing to give to our kids because maybe that'll make them happy because I'm too busy to actually spend some time with them. Look, I understand that, like, that grind is real. You're trying to make ends meet and you want to give your kids everything they want. But what they want most, what they're going to remember most is the things that you did with them, the time that you spent with them, you being there when they need you to be there. And not just physically, not just sitting on the couch, flicking through your phone, or not sitting on your computer working when your kids are still awake and they want you to do something with them or they need to talk to you about something. I'm talking about being there, like readily available for them to talk to you about some shit that is, you know, that's hard for them to talk about. But, and not only that, how about just like discussing your kids' future? Hey, what are you interested in? Taking interest in your kids, like really taking interest in your kids, not just telling them what they should be interested in, but like actually taking interest in their future. I understand that you want to, you're trying to make as much money as possible so you can send your kid off to a good school, but is that what they really actually want to fucking do? Do they actually have anything that they want to learn about? Or, you know, because to be honest with you, when I went to college, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing there. I didn't have a damn thing that I was interested in. I was literally just wasting time. I was there for a party. I like to socialize. I like to meet people. I wanted to build relationships. I didn't give a shit about school because I didn't have a single thing that I cared about in terms of like learning anything. There was nothing that I was passionate about. My passion was sports. And that was over. I was lost. So going back to just being present, like be present, be there for your kids. I mean, I can't tell you from experience of, you know, wishing I had had my father to teach me shit that, I mean, I'm not a handy guy. I'm not handy at all. I didn't have anyone to teach me those things. And I really wish I would have. Doesn't mean I can't go learn myself. I'm not poor me, but I'm just telling you what, as a kid, as a 32-year-old man, like things that I wish I could have, I had a father that would have taught me those things, like would have been great. Would have loved that. And if you're in your child's life, your kid's life, and you're just going through the motions day by day, putting them in front of the TV every single day, just kind of keeping them occupied so you don't have to actually do your job as a father, then man, your kids are going to look back and they're going to be saying, man, I am not going to be that guy. They're going to be, I mean, you can't be perfect, and I don't expect you to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying you can't put your kids in front of the fucking TV. If you got to put your kids in front of the TV to get something done, then I understand. But if you're not taking action and you're not taking the opportunity to do that at a time that isn't going to cut into your family time, if you have that time available to you, or if you're not willing to actually create that time and you could do that, if you're, you know, occupying yourself with a million different things that really don't fucking matter, then, I mean, what is the outcome that you expect? Because I can tell you from the experience that I had, like, if you're not present, like, if you're not A, physically present, but, you know, B and C, emotionally and mentally present with your family, like, you're going to be handed a shit sandwich at the end of the deal. And I know it's not easy, but, I mean, you've got to find an outlet to just decompress. You have to find an outlet to decompress, and, you know, everyone's outlet's different. Your outlet could be, I don't know, yoga. Your outlet could be jujitsu. Your outlet could be going out for a run. Your outlet could be lifting weights. Could be any of those things. But make sure your outlet isn't just drinking beer and getting shit-faced and forgetting about the problems or the responsibilities that you have. Or, you know, your outlet shouldn't be, well, I'm just going to house this whole pizza right now because that thing's going to make me happy for a minute, and then I'm going to go back to, you know, I'm going to try to pretend to be here when really I'm just thinking about how disappointed I am for eating that pizza. So, anyways, kind of got off on a rant there. I'd be completely honest with you on this one. This one was not something that I sat down and wrote notes for, because what I had that the, you know, having, taking the opportunity to stop worrying about or stop protecting myself, you know, subconsciously protect myself from potentially being let down, have my feelings hurt, and actually reaching out to my grandfather and just getting that relationship back to my life in my life is something that I want to share with you guys, because it really made me think a lot about, man, a lot of the shit that we do just could be, the problems that we have could be solved just by not avoiding it and facing it head on. And you might not get the end result that you're looking for. But what's worse is not trying to solve that problem, not taking action. Because if you're not taking action, there's no opportunity. There's zero opportunity. But the more times that you take action, you get out of your comfort zone on the things that matter, the more opportunity you're going to create. And that's all I got for today, at least. What I will ask of you guys is, if you're still hanging in there and you're still listening to this podcast, first off, thank you. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the herd thins a little bit on after this one, because this was not your cheerleader podcast. Like I said, this is very real, and I got a little ranty there, but understand this comes from a place of passion. And if I wasn't passionate about this stuff, I wasn't passionate about being a father, making sure that you are the best father that you can possibly be, and you're not slacking off and you're not just half-assing your way through life, I mean, I wouldn't be doing any of this shit. I wouldn't take time out of my day to make this podcast and get it out there to you guys. I'm not just doing this for a hobby. This is something that I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about helping you guys out in any way I can. If you like this podcast, you feel like this could help another father out there in any way, then share it with them. Facebook, send them, hit the share button on whatever platform you're listening to. Send it to them. And, if you want to reach me, if you got something you want to say, I know Dan had reached out recently, a couple weeks ago. Dan, if you're listening, what's up, buddy? Told me that he really enjoyed the podcast. I don't know Dan, but that stuff means everything to me, man. Like, if I know that, it's what keeps me going, man. If I'm adding value to your life, then, I mean, if it's one person I'm adding value to and I got one listener and he's motivated by it and he's becoming a better dad, that's all that fucking matters. And I'll talk to you guys next week.